My name is Devon Specs, and you better grab your glasses, your contacts. Otherwise, you better have 20/20 vision, because we're taking an introspective look on the reality of adulthood here on Clear Vision. Today, we're talking about finances and the things we wish we would have known when we were younger when it comes to money. Now, I'm not alone. Today, I have a very good friend of mine who is someone I'd like to call a self-made entrepreneur, someone who knows the ins and outs of paving your own path and making your own money in order to help you have a successful life in future. So, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce YouTuber, Twitch streamer, and personal friend of mine, Joey Pokey.
Yo, what's up, guys? Yeah, Pokey, I'm here. As Devon said, I am a YouTuber, and I've been doing this since I started high school, basically, just as like a little gig on the side type of thing. Never thought it would really make anything, but you know what they say, you make your own luck. So because I was able to continuously do this just as a hobby, it eventually became something that turned into a way I'm actually able to survive. So thank you so much for having me on, Devon. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Now, something that they don't teach you when you're younger is that you don't have you, it's not easy to make money. Everybody always has this get rich quick mentality. And people always assume like, "Hey, I'm gonna like win the lottery. I'm gonna be like the Mason Ramsey, the next yodeling kid, or I'm going to release like a one-hit wonder. I'm going to be the next YouTuber, the next ninja." But it's never that simple. What high school and younger fail to teach us how to do is manage money. So what I'd like to ask you is from your own personal experience with you doing YouTube since you said the beginning of high school, how did that help you learn to manage your money and forget the whole get rich quick thing?
Well, I mean, I never really had that whole mindset anyway. YouTube was always like a side hustle or a hobby. I've always, and I think that's super important too, always having a side hustle because, I mean, like you said, if you want to be the next ninja or you want to be the next yodeling dude or Lil Nas X, right? You're not going to be able to do that without actually putting out some yourself out there in some form or way. But obviously, at first, that's not going to be something that can pay for you. So, I mean, whether it's, flipping burgers at McDonald's or, running a cashier at CVS or something, I think that having a way of actually making money and then on top of that, doing something that you want to do, whether it be for a hobby or eventually turning it into, your real job is really important. Now, personally, I didn't actually learn. I thought I was really good with money up until I moved out for the first time, which was 3 years ago. So this is actually more of a newer experience for me, and I wish this is something I learned. Now, obviously, my parents had always told me, save up, save up, save up, and I did. But me living in New York, I severely underestimated the pricing of
It is
obviously apartments and houses,
an
right?
expensive city. New York is one of the most expensive places to live in the continental US.
So like when I moved out, I started to learn, all right, well, I got to learn how to pay my bills. I need to learn, like you think as a kid, all right, well, I'm gonna get my own apartment. I'll pay rent and I'll be good. No, it's not just rent. Like, there's so many expenses that your parents end up paying.
There's utilities, and I think the thing that they don't teach you are like, "Hey, like we want you to move out and be independent." They don't teach you to prioritize your bills. Like you could have a mortgage or a car payment, or like even just something as simple as paying your own cell phone bill. But when you're younger, they don't teach you like, "Hey, you need to, if you're working, you need to prioritize these bills because that's where your credit comes from, and that's what people look at if you try to end up eventually like buying a house or et cetera, et cetera."
Yeah, it's definitely something that's super tough that I had to learn the hard way. Luckily, I had been building credit because I got some advice from my parents, and this is advice that I share with everybody. Right? Always ask me because my credit score is now almost 800, right? And you know, I'm only 25, and I got my credit card 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
And
maybe.
that's a very good credit score. For those of you who don't know about credit score, the average credit score, or what is considered an average credit score, I should say, is
600 and
anywhere,
below.
yeah, it's
Yeah.
600 or below, and it's really hard. And with the way our economy is in the United States and the way things are. It's really hard to get a lot of things with a 600 or below credit score. Like fair for most credit card applications or most mortgages is 640 to 699. Personally, I'm 22 years old and I have a credit score that's in the 720s, almost 730s. So.
Yeah, I mean it's but it's a little bit like you think about getting a credit card as a kid, right? You're like, okay, well, I'm gonna buy everything with that. That's not the way it works, right? Obviously, you end up buying something, and then you have to pay it back in a month. You have to pay interest. At least in terms of that, the best advice I can give you is the advice my parents gave me, and that gave me the credit score I have now. When I basically used it once a month, twice a month to buy a sandwich, to buy gas for the car, right? And I just paid it off immediately, and that was it. And in that time, in a year's worth, I was able to get a credit score over 700 by literally just using it to pay for, small things that weren't anything crazy. And that just helped me build it up. And then nowadays, when I use my credit card, I only use it if I know, for example, if I'm getting paid on the 15th, I'll use my credit card on the 13th to get something that I know I can pay off immediately on the 15th. I'm not like so sure. Like, I've talked to very many people, they're like, oh yeah, well, if you let it build up, the credit card companies like you more because you build more interest and you're actually making the money, and that affects your credit score. I'm not entirely sure on the logistics of that. I just know from my personal experience and people I've talked with and the people I've worked with that this was the way that we were able to build. Like, don't let it rack up, obviously, because that will hurt your score if you're not paying it back in a month. So I just pay it back
Exactly.
immediately.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
so that's something they didn't teach us at all.
exactly. And it's one of those things where they're like, "Oh yeah, the credit card companies will like you more," but that's because they're sure that you're like paying back your interest and you're paying off your fees and that they can like, "Oh, so you have this amount on your credit card. Like this is your limit. We could extend that limit and give you access to more money so you can buy more things and do more. It may slightly increase your interest, but we know that you're a good person, it'll pay it back." And it ends up, it's to the point where it, for a lot of people, ends up becoming slightly overwhelming because they get in that mindset of, I have this extra, like, I have this emergency credit card, or I have this credit card where I could buy X, Y, or Z, and they increased my limit. So now I can get more and do more. But if you're not working like a totally steady job, or you have issues with that, and you can't pay monthly, or you have to end up delaying payments or something like that, it really does end up hurting you in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, a good mindset is don't use a credit card if you know you can't pay it off within the month or within the time of whatever. If you have to pay it off before the 13th of the next month, don't use it, right? And even if you just pay the minimum, I think that's completely fine too at first, right? You don't want it to overlap. But if you can only pay the minimum at first that's due on a specific date and then pay at a later date, I think that as long as it's still within the month, it's still good to do it. And that's just the mindset I have. Like, I won't use it unless I know I can pay it off. And obviously, even if you're just buying sandwiches or paying for gas and you're paying it off immediately, like, the point is to raise that credit, and that will in turn also raise your limit as well at the same time. Instead of like, you'll probably be able to go to them and say, hey, I need to raise this to a 5,000 limit. There was a time where I was able to just put my rent on the credit card because my payment wasn't coming in until a couple days later. And it was completely fine. Like, obviously, me putting that amount in, they ended up letting me raise my credit score in general from that. But I was still able to pay it off and, not hurt my actual credit. I think credit is something that they definitely did not teach us, like, how to have a good credit score.
They don't teach you
Another,
credit score or how to do your
uh,
taxes or anything
yeah.
like that really in school, which is those are the important things that you really need to know when growing up because those are the things that matter. Like I was saying before we started, no one needs to know A squared plus B squared equals C squared unless you're going into that one specific field.
Yeah,
But
where the Pythagorean
everyone
theorem
needs
is
to,
actually important. Yeah.
yeah, but everyone needs to know how to manage money.
I think it's also the way, at least in the United States, which we're from, where it teaches us is they want you to become this well-rounded person in terms of what you know, right? For example, in college, you have to take a million different prerequisites before you can actually take the actual courses itself that have to
And
do with the major you want.
you have to take all these general education credits that
Yeah,
are
exactly.
completely far off the wall that don't matter. Like,
Yeah.
I know my majors are journalism, digital media, and psychology. I was one of those people that went into college and decided they wanted to double major. When in my and I one of my prerequisites was like not prereqs, but one of my gen eds was like a dance class. Like, granted, ballroom dance is, you know, something interesting and learn, but that doesn't particularly pertain to what I would need when it comes to those two majors.
Yeah, exactly. But it's more so about being that well-rounded person because, I mean, we're in a different day and age, right? Like content creation, which is what I do, is something that was made within, you know, this decade, a decade and a half at most, right? Maybe in 20 years is when, you know, YouTube hasn't even been around for 20 years. Twitch hasn't even been around for 20 years type of thing, right? This is a whole different thing. But whereas there, the whole mindset of, and again, I don't blame it on anybody, but it's just that we've gone so long with, okay, go to school, graduate college, find a job. Get your stable money. It's not like that anymore. We have, first off, we have way more people than we had back then,
Exactly.
currently
They're
right now, competing for everything.
exactly, and it that makes it just a much more competitive job market.
Or even like, not even like, just not stable in terms of that, I think.
Exactly. There is no, oh, hey, you know what? I'm going to college to be a psychologist, and I can break out into this market. Well, now it's so unstable because you look at all these actual psychologists, but then on the other end of the spectrum, there are all these life advice podcasts or life advice websites, or if you need help with A, B, or C, you can look it up here and talk to this person for $20 for like an hour just so you get something off your mind.
Yeah, or even like you said, just Google, like the
Exactly.
thing
You
as
can just
well. Like,
Google, like, I'm having these problems. Like, what can I do to deal with it?
so I do think that in that regard, definitely learning how to basically figuring out some, I don't want to say creative, but because at the moment it's not really that obscure to be able to do that. Like YouTube 10 years ago was like, oh, you're a full-time YouTuber. That's back basically when they started doing like monetization and whatnot. Oh, you're doing YouTube? Well, that's crazy, man. That's not a stable thing. It's like, oh, well, you're working for this company. How you know the company's going to be there in 10 years type of thing, right? Like, what's the difference in terms of that? But again, I do want to say that it's just important to have that side hustle, especially because, you know, the boomers before us, they're really about, you know, working a 9 to 5 and killing yourself doing a job you hate. I want to say that, okay? I think that's something I can, from what I've seen, from what I've, you know, looked at, from what I've gathered, they're really about that. But I
And from
think,
what you personally do, like, you
yeah.
don't have that. Like, you specifically, and a lot of other people in the world that are content creators, you don't have to worry about that 9 to 5 grind that the baby boomers before us were like, we have to dead set. It's like, wake up, go to work, come home, provide for our family. Now, with the internet being so accessible, and even things like YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, all those different platforms, you can make your own schedule. There are so many jobs where you could work from home and stuff like that.
Yeah, they value making the same money as us, but killing yourself while doing it, which I don't think is, you know, like there's, I really, that's why I like, again, I keep going back to that, but just having that side hustle and working on it. Like, for example, my aunt, she is a Spanish teacher, if I'm not mistaken. She teaches Spanish, she teaches art as well, and but she's also a photographer and an artist on the side. And she's going to events and doing this while working, you know, a full-time job being a teacher, right? So she's making that time on the weekends, and eventually she's in a position where she can go part-time for teaching and part-time for art because, you know, it's balancing each other out, right? And obviously she loves, you know, being a Spanish teacher. She's Hispanic, but art is something she's more passionate about. Photography is something she is more passionate about. And because she
Yes.
has put in the time and work on it while doing what she needs to do to actually make money and have a means of surviving, she's able to put more time into what she loves. And that's the same thing as me. For me, when I started doing YouTube full time, I was going through college. I was working in like a bunch of odd jobs. I think I was a waiter at a restaurant at this point, and I was still doing YouTube. And you know, I got treated like crap in the food industry. And honestly, guys, the food industry is super tough, right? People are not the same at all. I
It's
mean,
highly competitive for a food industry because they want the best, but it's also just very, like, customer service jobs in general are just very rough jobs.
it's not even the people you're working with. I mean, the people you're doing the job for. It's
It's
the
the
people
people
you're
you're
working with.
working with. As
Yes, they turn to monsters.
as somebody that does customer service, like Joey, you know, I have been a part of there. Well, listeners, there's a thing called the PokeTubing community. It's just a group of people that play Pokemon constantly, and they have their different sub-communities for their subscribers and all this other stuff. But everybody that plays Pokemon on the internet is semi-classified under PokeTubing or just general content creation if they do a bunch of variety of stuff. Joey, you know that I've been around probably since like 2013, 2014. So I've seen the different phases, and I've seen that a lot of the times it's things that are switching and going through. And you know that I do a lot. I do video editing, but I'm always out there trying to support people, help people out. But I too work a part-time, I work a part-time job from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. at a local grocery chain. Third shift, really hard. Nobody likes graveyard because it's just hard to stay up. It's hard on your body. But I've seen the people that come in late that are just the customers are tough, but it's the people that you work with who are full-time or part-time. It's just hard for them. They either hate the job or they're only doing it so that they can get that paycheck to paycheck to be able to provide. Or in some cases,
Which isn't terrible, by the way. I just want to say, like, I mean, if you
it's
need to
not.
provide for your family, like, do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
Do
or
it, sorry.
it's the people where it's like, I only have this job so that my parents will help me out with this, that, or the other thing. But there's so much financial insecurity, instability, or financial fickleness, as I like to call it, in society.
I mean, I think it also has to do with, your own mental health. That's very important. You should value that for
Exactly.
sure. As I was saying before, like I had worked at this restaurant job as a waiter, and the night I actually walked out on my job, my boss was cursing me out and saying this like 5 minutes before, "Hey, you're one of the best workers here. You do amazing. We have nobody else in the place, and nobody else. I already cleaned up. I did what I had to do. The place was closing in like 10 minutes." He comes out and then just starts screaming at me. Cursing me out and be like, "Hey, why are you here? Why are you not outside sweeping?" And I'm like, I already swept. Like, what do you were talking to me while I was sweeping. What do you want me to do?" So he just started cursing me out. I was like, "You know what? Forget this. It's not worth it." At that point, because I've been doing YouTube at the same time, YouTube was making just as much as what I was making being a waiter. And I was like, "You know what? If I don't have to work these 12, 13, 14-hour shifts, which are ridiculous, by the way, if I didn't have to work these shifts, I could probably put more time into YouTube while I'm still going to college part time and, make something out of that." And, that was years ago, right? And now I'm living off of my YouTube and my Twitch, right?
Exactly.
So.
You have your not only do you have your YouTube and your Twitch, you have with YouTube you have like your ad revenue. With Twitch you have your ad revenue, your donation revenue. You have
No
your
subscribers.
own merchant, your subscribers. You have your own merchandise lines.
Yeah, I do.
For people who don't know who listeners who don't know who Pokimane is, he has his own. It's the Drop a Draco merchandise line. And Joey has sold. He's sold hoodies. He sold. I'm tired hoodies. He sold multitudes of different Drop a Draco
I've
merch.
created a brand. I've created a
Yes,
brand off of what I do.
he has a very big brand off of his catchphrases and his that blend well into his YouTube. He got married, and a lot of the money that he made from that went from his YouTube and his Twitch and everything, helped with his wedding and expenses like
Oh,
that. And he,
straight up pay for it.
yeah,
Straight up.
and he doesn't have to worry. You have I know talking to you in passing and even just listening to your stream stuff, you've also mentioned you have side businesses and like business partners and things going on with
Yeah,
that as well.
I in case in case YouTube falls through, right? I have contingency. I have plans that I can do. I forgot the word, but
You have
contingency
contingency
plans.
plans.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I have those plans, like just in case things fall through. But I'm going to make the. I'm gonna first off, I love my job. I absolutely love my job. This is the best job in the world, right? Like in my opinion, right? I'm doing what I love. I'm playing a game I love, and I'm teaching people how to play the game I love. Like, so more people can play the game I love, right? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
As somebody who enjoys Pokemon, I enjoy Pokemon. I spent a large amount of time, and this is why I introduced him as a friend. Because though I haven't met Joey in person yet, but he is somebody I interact with constantly. We've had our ups, we've had our downs, but we support each other. And he's not only like I've supported his Twitch, I've supported his YouTube. He knows I'm a very avid person of
Yes.
like helping him reach like quote unquote live his best life. And he's helped me, and he's helped me learn Pokemon. And we have this friendship, but also this like business interaction. That's like we know that like we can help each other move forward. And it's all for the greater good of like our own beneficial lives at the end of the day.
No, you make connections when you get out there as well. Like that's what I'm doing. I'm building a brand. I'm making my own stability. Obviously, YouTube and Twitch doesn't currently pay healthcare, pay plans like that. Obviously, I have my own. And it's a lot. It's out of pocket. But I'm sure as this, again, this new age type of thing, right? This is a new type of job. This is a new type of career. As years go by, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever, if YouTube and Twitch are still around or whatever the next thing is for that, I'm sure one, when I go sign for an apartment or house, I don't have to get like eyes where I say, what is content creation? What is this? I'm sure everything's gonna start adapting and and there'll be the things that a basic job should provide with this as
Exactly.
well.
And how just as a side note, how often when you apply for something or you have content creation as your job, do you have to explain what that is to people?
Every single time, every single time. And I was like, I make this much a year. I have this credit. I don't understand why my mother has to co-sign with me on this. It makes no sense. But she has had to. And I'm not ashamed of that. Like, I mean, I pay all the bills. That's it.
It's
But
just
it's
some
just, it's a new job. It's a new
yeah and
thing.
content creation is just a new field, and unless you're the huge people that just break out, like, unless you're like the next Ninja or Dr. Lupo or Dr. Disrespect, when it comes to saying that you're a content creator, people don't have a solid grasp of what that is, because content creation as a field has only been around for, I want to say, the past, what, 13 years, since YouTube was in, it was brought into inception.
Even probably less
Probably
because
less. When was YouTube created?
I
Wasn't
believe
it
2004.
2004? But
Yeah,
real
2005, 2005.
2005? Okay, so that was
And I
14 years
believe,
ago. But
and I
really
know that
hard
for
content creation.
I know that for gaming, you were only able to monetize it 2010, 2011.
2010. So okay,
For game, for gaming
for
specifically,
gaming
other
specifically,
people,
8, 9 years. Because before that, if you weren't a vlogger or like a beauty tuber or something, like, or making music, it was, you couldn't monetize things.
Yeah, you could not. They had like Google AdSense and now things are available too. But before, like if you uploaded gaming, companies could come and claim it. And but now they, you can get MCN, so you can work with other, middleman companies that will take the money and then send it to you as well. You could also literally do it yourself, right? Like you don't need a company anymore either. You could just make your own money off of Google AdSense.
Yeah, and
So.
that was a big thing when YouTube started. It was everybody's dream goal to be part of Full Screen or Machinima or ScreenWave or some sort of networking company to have that security. But you don't need that anymore. You
Yeah.
don't. You can be self, excuse me. You can be self-made. You can do things on your own. You can build your own funds, and you can track your own spending and just see where things go, because
Yeah,
that's an option now.
it's your own company. You do, you're the boss, right? Now, you're the boss, and obviously, there are things with YouTube that there are issues, just like there are issues with every company, right? People who are higher might be doing something wrong or might not be in the best interest of certain things. But I mean, it's just completely fine. Like, I mean, it's not completely fine, but it's something I've made of myself and I love what I do. So I know that there are risks, as there are risks in basically everything. But I'm willing to put the time and, figure it out, right? And have, like I said, backup plans or anything like this. Right? I'm married now, right? I have a wife, I have my own apartment, and I know that if I don't keep working hard and if I don't keep doing these opportunities, right? If I miss an opportunity, right? Like I said, you make your own luck, right? If I wasn't uploading to YouTube, I would have never had the opportunity for my channel to do a lot better, right? That's just it. Like if I was not uploading videos, how would anybody have known about me in that sort of regard, right? That's just it. And it's the same thing. Like if you're not going to that art convention, how's your name going to be known? Do you always want to be working in that office the entire time? If you're not going out and meeting people, if you're not networking, if you're not marketing yourself, if you're just not putting yourself out there. And that's why I said side hustle is super important.
Exactly. And I as somebody who is majoring in journalism, and who is and as you know, who is constantly dipping their hand into the cookie jar, so to speak, being like everywhere they can possibly be, I look at that type of thing as a spider web. You start in the center and you grow and like weave your way out and spread yourself from that center to make sure that you can build those connections, that you have those contacts. Because if you don't, and you're in not even just YouTube, but just any type of industry, if you don't have those contacts and connections, you're not going to really be able to establish yourself or the things you do, because it goes back to that old adage, it's not just what you know, it's who you know.
Agree completely. Like that's just that there's no better way to put that. So I feel like just to take away, I mean, what I personally want, and this is what I want for, this is what I always tell my friends, because I have obviously a bunch of friends who also do YouTube. Like if I eat, I want them to eat, right? And if I, which means if I succeed, I want my friends to succeed. So I always push them to do these things, and we all work hard and we do ideas together. I just think that having, and this is also not necessarily what school teaches you. Well, this is what school teaches you, but because school is all about, passing the grade, but also there is that friendship type of thing. I think growing with people and having these correct people around you, these friends that you can rely on, or even just family or whatever it is, really just helps you grow, because that like the financial part is super important, and the mental health part is just as important. That's it. You don't want to kill yourself doing what you're doing. That's
You
it.
don't. And if that's the thing about having friends, it's like you said, you want your friends to eat. And there's a Shofu bar in a song that's like, whole squad of leftovers, all my, and then insert expletive, trying to eat. And it's really one of those things where it's like, you have your network, but then you have your close friends. And if your friends are eating and you're eating, you're all helping each other. And you have to have that support, because that support network in it of itself is just one step into helping your mental health. Because so many people nowadays are advocates for mental health and being like body positive or health positive and stuff like that. But if you're just working dead end job after dead end job, you don't feel accomplished in life because you're being dragged down by bills or external family problems or stuff like that. It is really hard to keep that momentum in order to keep yourself skyrocketing towards the goals that you want to achieve.
I agree. There's there's two sayings, work hard, play hard, but there's also work hard, smarter, not
Not
harder.
harder.
Yeah, that's a big one. Figuring out what works for you, and I mean, we all get stressed. It's life, right? Life is
Yeah.
not easy.
If
But
things were easy, they wouldn't be worth doing.
I agree too. I agree. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'm again, in terms of like what to take away, mental health important, but having that side hustle, building your credit is super important too. And at least in terms of taxes, there are people that actually do that, accountants that actually do that. So that's okay, but it definitely is worth it. Like I think taking side classes on things like that too, like practical skills like that. That actually, come to play, because that's also could be a side hustle too. Hey, you learn how to do taxes. Some people could just pay you to do their own taxes. It's not like you need a degree in order to do taxes. Now you just gotta take,
Exactly.
you need to take a few classes. But
If it
yeah.
wasn't for a class I took when I was a senior in high school, and you know in high school you have your elective classes, and they're generally like, what, depending on how schools are, it's one semester, right?
Yeah.
Or like one, or like it's one quarter, so like 4 weeks in a year you have it, like those first 2 quarters. Well, my high school, they offered a class on money management, and it was run off of Dave Ramsey, who is a was like Smart Money Matters, and I believe it was Rich Dad Poor Dad, who was that about? It was Rich Dad Poor Dad, and by Robert Kiyosaki. And if it wasn't for that class, personally, when I got to college, I would have had no idea what I was doing with money, no idea what I was doing with finances and all of that other stuff. And Joey, I've given you big donations and I've helped you out. But we've also always talked. It's like I've never really had an issue to where I was donating or helping to where I was struggling to eat or anything like that, because I could budget, I could help my finances, I could manage helping, like having things for myself while helping my friends.
A big tip as well that I think I should have said earlier as well, because this is all about management and things like that, or where they don't teach you. But my mother and father always taught me, when you get a paycheck, if you can, and I don't know who this course is necessarily going out to or who this is going for, whether it's college or high school,
This is
Gabon.
for high schoolers.
Oh, okay, perfect. So this is a lot better because a lot of them can actually get, a job, but not have to worry about paying rent because they're living with their parents or whoever, their guardians, whatever. So saving 30% of whatever you make now, I think is very, very important. And, as a high schooler, you got a job. It's pretty cool, right? Because, I mean, you go to school, you can buy whatever clothes you want, you can do all that, but it's really easy to blow that money. But saving 30%, I think, is really important. And it's not necessarily for, not necessarily to have like for anything in particular, but taxes is something that's really important. And you'll learn that down the line as you're doing it. Now, of course, if your job automatically takes out the money for taxes, then you're good in that regard,
Yeah,
right? But
my job
still,
personally does that itself. It's like, oh, you make $300 a paycheck. Well, at like tax in North Carolina is like seven. It's like 17% of your total check. So if I
that's
make
what.
$300, it'll take away like 17%. But that 17% gets split. So half of that goes to taxes. Half of that goes into a 401k.
Yes. So I mean, like that's the thing. Like even if you're not doing taxes, I learned that just saving that money early is going to help you a lot, especially when you do move out, because expenses and things like that, it's way more than what it seems, right? Like phone bill, gas bill, electric, just everything,
It
right?
adds
Food,
up.
food is the most expensive one too.
Food is incredible. Like you would think, like they say the basic expenses are like food, water, clothing, and shelter. When you look at the things comparatively, over time added up, food generally does end up being the most expensive out of that one. Because how often do you buy new clothes? How often, like all that other stuff? It's like, oh, it's maybe like a one or two off a year. Or like for housing, it's like monthly. But food runs out
Yeah,
so fast.
I think also learning to cook for yourself is a very important skill.
I want to say that's
Luckily,
one of the most important
yeah,
things you could learn when you're in
because
high school, so you're not going out to eat all the time or
you're
struggling in
ordering
college.
food, especially because they make it really easy right now to order food. You got Uber Eats, you got Seamless, you got
Yeah,
Grubhub,
Grubhub,
all
DoorDash,
of them. Exactly.
all those applications where you could just be like, "Oh, well, I could go get it or I could have it brought to me and pay this minor delivery fee, you
Yeah,
know, leave a tip."
Yeah, if you're paying $20 for one meal a day and you're getting three meals, right? That's $60 a day. You do that into a week, you turn that into a month, you're spending like a lot. You're spending a lot. You're spending over $1,000, right? You're spending over a thousand
Exactly.
bucks easily on just food. But if you do you go to the grocery store, you buy a couple pieces of chicken breast and things like that, you could buy like three packs of chicken breast for less than $20, most
Yeah,
likely, right? And that'll be like, that's like six meals.
that chicken taco you wanted that you ordered from Taco Bell that cost you like $8 plus like delivery fee and tax, so let's say that's like $12, $13. You could go to your whatever your local supermarket is and buy all those ingredients for maybe $5, $6 more, but then have multiple meals for the week instead of just the one
Yeah,
meal for
food
the time
preferences.
period.
And the good thing about that is obviously you have Google, so it's not easy. You have Google and YouTube to teach you how to cook. It's not easy.
Exactly. You don't have to be like, "Oh, I don't know how to cook." That's the amazing thing about the internet. There are so many different recipes. Like I know I have this very proud Spanish heritage in my family. One thing I didn't know how to cook was paella. And I was like, I don't know what goes into this or how long this is gonna take, but when I went over my family's, I was like, "Oh, we would have paella or something for special occasions." You look up what you need, and it's like, all right, maybe all the ingredients together are like $30, $35, but that'll make you enough food for yourself, a couple friends. You have some for like a day or two left over, and you'll have extra ingredients that you could repurpose
Yeah,
into other food in the process.
$35 for 3 days versus $35 for a meal. Like,
Exactly.
yeah, it's all different.
And we're not, and now don't get us wrong, listeners, we're not saying that you can't occasionally order out to eat or go out to eat with friends or anything, but in the long run, it is more beneficial if you learn to cook for yourself because you do end up saving more money per month. If anything, if I could give you any piece of advice, if you have a job or you have like money in a savings and spending account, almost everybody in today's day and age has a computer. Use Excel, make a budget. Just like, or use a planner. Make a budget for how you want to spend, like your expenses. Have your savings. Like the piece of advice I got was up until you're 18, you want to have a cushion of maybe $500 to $1,000 in your savings, just as a nice little cushion. Once you get out of high school, I say double that, because that's a nice safety net on top of whatever else you're making. And then you still have those money for those excess expenses, but you can also budget. So it's like, okay, I have to pay this, this, and this on these dates, and then I would have this much money left over, this much as a reserve. So if you wanted to like splurge and do something extra every once in a while, you have the ability to do so.
Definitely. I mean, the big thing is, especially with going back to credit cards, you don't spend the money if you can't pay it off later. That's it, right? So make sure you have your that little stash or whatever, that savings. Obviously opening up a savings, 401k, and what's it called? IR,
A Roth
I,
IRA.
yeah, Roth IRA, thank you. I was like about to say IR Roth, but yeah, Roth IRA. Like even I don't know, like I have a Marcus Goldman Sachs account online as well in terms of saving too, just to put a little bit every single time. Just having that's gonna that stuff matters, right? Having that for the future, that's gonna be matter. That helps in terms of security.
It does. And like me personally, like I had mentioned, I work at a supermarket when as part-time, along with my freelance photography and my writing and stuff like that. My job offers every employee a chance to opt into a 401k. Literally, and 401ks can transfer between jobs. I had one with the job I had before that, and it transferred over. Literally, from each paycheck I have, like I have no problem sharing. I make like minimum wage in North Carolina is $7.25. I make $12 an hour for this part-time job. Each paycheck that I have, they take $15 out of that paycheck just to put to that 401k. Because so many people don't think about saving for retirement or like saving for the future and stuff like that once they're ready to just be quote unquote done working. But it's really beneficial, even if it's not into a 401k, just a Roth IRA or any other extra account where you could put that money to the side. Even if you wanted to put it in a CD in a bank so that it accrues over, like you put like $15 in and maybe in like 10 years you have an extra $2,500, $3,000, just so that you have that extra money down the line.
Yeah, just in part. That's why I think I'm with Marcus Goldman because they give me the best back. Basically, I think it's almost 3%. So yeah, it's just things like that are super important. Learning the value of saving, but building your credit is also just in general. You need that. You need
Yeah.
that to get anything.
So, moral of the story, listeners, is you really want to be smart with your money, save, go out of your way to make sure that you know. Go out of your way to make sure that you know how to do or how to manage your money as best as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a clear introspective on things that they don't teach you when you're younger. And this time it's just been money. I would like to thank Joey for coming out and talking
Yeah, of
and just
course,
sharing
man.
his experiences with us. And his links will be in the description notes as well. And you can catch this podcast bi-weekly every other Thursday on Anchor, Spotify, Stitcher, really wherever you get your podcast. Joey, any last words?
I mean, thank you so much for having me, and hopefully, something either spoke to you or got through in terms of that. It's still a learning experience for all of us as well. Like I'm just what I'm like 6 years out of high school now. That's it. Just 6 years out of high school. So I'm still young. I like to think I'm still young. So, but figuring this out and just taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, and just saving has just really helped me out. So yeah, hopefully, helps you out too.
We're learning, we're growing. Once again, Joey, thank you very much. I appreciate having you.
Of course,
Ladies
man.
and
Thank you for
gentlemen,
having me.
we will see you in 2 weeks. Have a good one.